Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to This Dude Started Something. It's Oliver, and today we have Scott Taube, the guy who took a simple idea, a golf card game, and turned it into a viral business that's blowing up on and off the course. His company, Bad Cards for Good Golfers, has pulled in millions of views on social media, teamed up with Liquid Death and the PGA Tour, and made golf way more fun, competitive, and just unpredictable. And the best part, we're teaming up with Scott to bring you some wild content straight from the golf course. He sent us out a ton of stuff, so thank you, Scott, for that again. And we're going to make some awesome content and get to actually play the game and show you guys what that's like. So make sure you head over to our socials after you listen to the podcast. But yeah, let's get into it.
Wait, I want to know. Okay, wait. So did you used to skate back in the day? I know this is kind of off topic, but...
Oh, I mean, yeah, like sophomore in high school, and then I don't know. I think I had a skateboard always around me at least through college, but it's weird now. Like I live in Florida in like the Panhandle, and dude, I have a cement park, like public park, like maybe a mile and a half from me, but I'm just like, whew. Oh no, I'm at the point now where I'm just like, man, if I break a wrist. Like when you're a kid, you know, it's like, I don't care. I don't get out of school. Sweet. I don't have to write. Awesome. Right. Now it's just like, that's going to be complicated. So yeah, back in the day, once upon a time. True.
Oh yeah. I'm honestly even feeling that way a little bit too now. It's like, I'm taking a little less risk because like, I'm at the point where like, I was playing pickleball like a couple summers ago and now my toe is like permanently damaged. It's like, come on.
From like going into the front of your shoe, right? Like, cutting. Yeah. No, same thing with cleats from playing Ultimate Frisbee. I got a weird toe. That's just me now. I just have a weird toe on that side. Scars used to be cool. Not anymore.
Yeah. So what we're talking about, your new game today, Bad Cards. It's a golfing gambling game. What inspired you to create that?
Yeah, so I mean, Bad Cards is a company we launched in realistically about 2021, and our main game that we started with just called Bad Cards for Good Golfers. And you know, the idea was to sort of marry the concept of like Cards Against Humanity with like Topgolf and sort of these vibes that just make golf fun. I mean, it is fun. I play a lot, but it's an incredibly frustrating sport. And at the time of creating this company, I was playing significantly less. So anytime I went out to golf, it was like everyone was better than me. I wasn't trying to improve because I was going to play once a year. So it was like, I just want to have fun and it's 4 hours. So you better have fun. So
right.
We designed this game just to make it make golf fun and take the pressure off of scorekeeping and really level out those rounds when you have people who play a lot and people who don't play a lot and make sure everybody has a good time. So that's how it started. And then, you know, we stepped into, it was well received. And so we stepped into expansion packs and then eventually released our bag cards for gambling golfers. And the big distinction between the two games is our gambling game doesn't affect your round, just your wallet. So like if you still want to keep your score and track your handicap or be competitive, like you've got that game. Whereas our main game is just it's a zoo. It's just a good time.
Yeah. It's kind of like you're just bringing Topgolf to the real golf course, which is taking a lot of the stress and like the seriousness out of it.
Absolutely.
Which like a lot of the new people struggle with. And that's why oftentimes they'll choose Topgolf over traditional golf.
Exactly. Yeah, it's super intimidating. And the entry point is not like there isn't a way to really ease into it. Like we were talking about skateboarding. If you wanted to learn to skateboard, it's like you don't have to go and like drop in on a 14-foot half pipe, you know, or even like do some big roll-ins or rails or, you know, 10 stair sets. Like you can start in your living room carpet learning to ollie and then slowly rolling up to stuff and going bigger and bigger and learning. Like golf, you don't really have that. Like if you want to play, at the very least, you got to go play 9 holes and you've got to tee the ball. You got to hit from the tee box. You have to use, you know, from drivers to woods to irons to putters to chipping, hitting out of the sand. Like all of that, you need to just play the game. You need to be at least knowledgeable on how to do all of those things. So you have something like Topgolf where somebody's like, I've never swung a club before. Let me try that. Oh, cool. Let me swing this club and kind of build confidence. And we're seeing a lot of like those people then like, well, I'm falling in love with this. I'm really good at aiming for these things. How is this? And I've done putt-putt or pop stroke before. Like, let me piece all these together and go to the golf course. So, but there's still like a, I mean, it's still a pretty big barrier of entry. And it is, I mean, it's intimidating if you're not familiar with the course and the rules and the etiquette and things you can and cannot do. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a tough way to kind of get into it, but then it keeps people from, you know, falling in love with the game if they don't go try it. So we're just trying to, another thing to kind of help that barrier of entry, at least as far as like the stress of it goes.
So how did the idea come up? How did you actually like kind of find that area? Like, were you someone that like wanted the game to be more fun, or just how did that idea come to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think just being a shitty golfer helped. So like I played in like middle school. I was on our golf team in middle school. But never great, but I got to go play for free, you know, during the school week, play 9 holes, and like it was super fun. And then in high school, towards the end of high school my parents had moved to a house that was on a golf course, and so for sort of like my summer, my senior year, and kind of into the first summers of college, I played a ton. Again, never really like break, I don't know that I could have ever broken 100. I didn't even know that I played 18 complete holes outside of a par 3 for a long time. But you know, the random sort of, hey, you want to play in this, you know, charity tournament, or we're going out, like I'd be down because it's a good time. So yeah, when I'm playing, you know, when I was living in Nashville, and a buddy of mine who golfs a lot was like, hey, I want to go out, you know, you want to come play? And I'm like, sure. So but yeah, I was like, you can't give me any advice on my swing, like, because I'm not going to work on anything. I'm going to play once a year. Like, don't give me any advice on my swing. I just want to have fun. And so that just naturally turned into every hole. It was kind of, it was just two of us. It's like, all right, let's put some money on this, or let's try to, you know, you get to do this and I'll do this, and let's see if you can beat me. And then just every single hole in me just kept coming up with more random things. And for days after that, I was like, oh, you know what would have been fun is to do it this way. And I was like, this should be just all, we put all these ideas together in like a card game. And then it, like 4 years passed. And then during COVID, there was just sort of like a, for me, there was like a lull in sort of creativity and creative outlet and stuff like that. And I had some time, and I'm like, I don't want to be the guy at a party 20 years from now talking about this idea I had that somebody else will inevitably do and succeed at. So I'm like, I'll just do it. So bootstrapped it, launched it, didn't know if anyone would dig it, and people loved it. And so here we are, you know, a few years later, we sold tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of games, somewhere in there. Got to be kind of teetering around that. Yeah, so it took off. Awesome. People were all in, and we're like, sweet, we've got some here. Let's see how much more fun we can have.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
how many did you order in bulk that first order before you knew it was going to take off?
Yeah, so I mean that was the thing. It was the minimum point of entry because so we bootstrapped it, $5,000, and that's everything from, just super quick creating an LLC, building a website, even all the design work I did to everything myself.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Not a designer, but from my band days, I learned enough to do in Photoshop where I didn't have to hire somebody because I couldn't afford them at the time. I did send sort of some concepts for the logo to a designer that I'd worked with before, and he sent back an actual design that we could trademark. But yeah, we didn't know. And so it was like, all right, what's the lowest we can order? But we're working with a manufacturer overseas because we wanted to produce a box that felt quality. And so 750 games is how many ordered the first time. And we didn't announce the company at all. I was like, I'm not going to announce or tease what we have going on until we have product in hand. So we had printed some demo cards just to shoot an explainer video so we could release that immediately. And so it was like product landed and then we launched, we launched the company to the world outside of our friends who knew we were doing it. And it was like, on the marketing side, I was pulling levers as far as like advertising. It's like, okay, I'm just trying to find where we get the best return before I invest any more money in it. So it was a real slow, intentional launch on the marketing side. So we would sell maybe 10 orders a day organically and just through the ads. And then one day our explainer video, we posted in three parts on TikTok. And it was like a week or so later, just one of them took off, a couple hundred thousand views, and that was enough to sell out the store. So we sold out that 750. When that run started, we were sold out in a few days. And then we put all of that money into a reorder, which we could get 2,400 games air freighted, which was a lot more expensive, but we wanted to keep our momentum. And then, and we continued to take back orders for that. And after those landed, between the back orders and the new selling, I think it was 2 weeks we had sold out of those. And then again, rolling back in. So then we got to the point where we're ordering 10 to 20,000 games at a time and not running into inventory issues. But yeah, it was 750 and it was funny because I remember I was living in an apartment at the time and the UPS man was delivering them to my house and they're in boxes of 50 and they're 30 pounds each. And I had 750 games coming in. And I was so apologetic. I actually gave him one because he was a golfer and I told him what they were because I was super excited about him. So he was the first one to ever get one.
That's a cool
yeah,
story.
I was like, man, this is either going to be a stack of boxes in our apartment for the rest of my life or it'll go well. It's going to be my Christmas gift to everybody till the day I die or we'll have something.
That's crazy. So did you ever think about, is it strictly online sales?
So I was going to ask, yeah.
Yeah, so we started out being direct to consumer, and obviously all of the channels with that, with TikTok Shop and Meta Shop and Amazon as well, Amazon FBA, like getting all that set up. And then about a year or so in, we were selling to like golf shops that had heard of us or saw it, and they'd reach out, and we just sort of do individual deals with them. But just at the end of 2023, we signed with a retail rep and we got into some retail spots. So our biggest one we got first was PGA Tour Superstore, and it was right before the holiday rush. We did them, and I don't know if you're familiar with Scheels. It's like a Yeah. It's like kind of, yeah, it's dope. Like, I don't have any by me, but when we're traveling, like, I always try to stop in. It's like the Bass Pro of
you don't know what you're going to have in there.
Every sport. Mm-hmm.
They put a Ferris wheel in there.
Yeah, Ferris wheel and an aquarium. You know all the things you want out of your sporting goods store. That's crazy. So we picked up a handful of their locations as well, and it sold at PGA Tour Superstore, like, sold through like crazy. Like, they said it was the best selling product in the category for the season. I don't know what the exact category was, if it was accessories or games or something, but so they've put in a bunch of reorders. We're in PGA Tour or PGA Fan Shop, the airport shops. There's about a dozen or so of those, and we're in all of those now, which is kind of fun. We're traveling through a city. If I have enough of a layover, I'll run and try to find the shop.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely worked into retail. That was a whole new learning curve. It's a totally different beast, yeah. And you just watch your margins go so fast.
Yeah. So you, if I'm not mistaken, did you audition for Shark Tank? I saw that.
Yeah, we did. I've never been more nervous or terrified in my life. Like, I was a wreck. It was me and my wife. We went to Palm Springs. It was the only one that it was the first one that they had done since COVID. And it was a couple years after, if I'm remembering correctly. And it was like the open audition, and you had to show up like between 7 or 7:30, something like that, to get a wristband. So you had to wait in line to get a wristband and a time slot to come back. You had, you know, I mean, you had all the details on the pitch and stuff. And then you came back with your group, and then they would call you up into this big like conference room. Was that like at a like an Indian casino outside of Palm Springs? Big conference room, and then it was split in half. And you were just waiting in this room with all of these other like entrepreneurs and people all dressed up for their pitches. It was a really cool experience, because you're just like surrounded by dreamers, like just hundreds of people who are passionate about this project that they have. And so like standing in line and talking to people, and we're all talking about like, oh, what do you do? Like, are you selling on this? What's your experience with this? Like, it was such a good vibe, and like so collaborative, and everyone's cheering for each other. So you're in that room and you're sitting with, you know, probably 50 people in your sort of subgroup. And then they would call you up one at a time by your number, and you would stand in a shorter line. And then you would be, there was a like probably 5 or 6 tables of different producers with a camera. And when they were ready, they'd send you over, and you did your pitch. They asked a couple questions and you left out. But when they called your number, everybody in that sort of the second half of the room would clap for you and like cheer you on. That's like, it was cool. Such a vibe. It was so cool.
It kind of sounds like American Idol, but like for entrepreneurs or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely, man, like I definitely recommend it like as an experience. Like, I'm so glad we did it. We didn't end up, so that was round one, and we weren't allowed to talk about really any of it or kind of share any of it. And then the deal was like, all right, if you move on to the next round, you'll get a call from a producer in the next couple of weeks for the next steps. And that was at the beginning. We were doing a big like golf event activation thing with Lowe's corporate in Carlsbad. So we went to Carlsbad from there. And while we were there, we got the email or the phone call that like, hey, we love you, we want to send you on to the next round. And so we had to create, like, they sent us basically, we need you to do a video. Here's kind of the main points to hit. And so film that while we were out there and sent it off, and then didn't make it past that round. But yeah, it was a fun experience. But yeah, I was so freaking nervous, man. And like, I'm comfortable talking about our company. I'm comfortable in front of people. I'm comfortable on stage, but just like, I was an absolute wreck the whole time.
Anybody would be. Imagine doing it in front of the actual like sharks too. That'd be
dude.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's I can't imagine. I don't know if the initial, if it would have worn off like the nerves, but I was, yeah. I mean, my wife could tell you I was a shit show. I was just like, it was a disaster. But we did great. We pitched great. Yeah, so it was fun. 10 out of 10 would recommend to any entrepreneur going, and even just doing that initial pitch round. It's just like, man, such an experience and such a cool environment. And like, yeah, just being around the energy of like all those just dreamers and doers. And yeah, it was killer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like the ultimate networking.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. It just sounds like a networking event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we're always like, hey, what do you do? What do you do? We're sort of giving little mini pitches in line. And I've actually kept up with a couple of the companies we talked to. There was this like, I don't know, it was like a B.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
There was like a beehive company, so they do beehives actually on golf courses, and they, you know, source and they make products out of it and sell it back to the company that they host the, you know, it's a bunch of stuff like that. And they had some other products, and they're from West Palm, and we were actually like down there for a golf event, and my wife and I were staying near, we were in West Palm, and they had a farmer's market that day. I'm like, cool, let's go down and check out all the vendors. And they were there, and we recognized each other and like stood out and talked for an hour. So it's cool to kind of still follow each other's journeys like after the fact too.
Oh yeah. It's crazy how many different businesses people have and like entrepreneurs, and you're just, I mean, everyone is so unique, you know? And it's like,
yeah,
I don't know. Was it ever hard to like see all those people and be like, I don't know. Like, did you ever get discouraged? I mean, it kind of sounds like you had the opposite. Like, you got motivated. It's just like when you see all the competition, it's like, man, there's so many businesses. How are we going to make this work? Like, how did you just stay motivated throughout the process?
I mean, it's interesting, right? Because it's like, it's not real competition. It's competition for the show, but that's not really even a reflection of your companies or your, I mean, maybe your personalities. But I mean, I'm sure there were dozens of people that would be great for the show. But I mean, I also understand in that world that they're looking to tell a story. And I mean, the more you watch Shark Tank specifically and seasons, it's less about a company whose numbers are in the right spot and their valuation's in the right spot. And we had all of that. I mean, I remember the producer kind of looking at our numbers that we spit out, and she's like, oh man, like this is investable. Like this is there, you know? But it's more about like, yeah, what story are they trying to tell in the broadcast, and like, what's the connection and stuff like that. So I didn't really take it personally even like, but even in that space, anyone we're talking to, we're not even in competition with each other in the retail space, because like almost no one there is doing the same thing. Right, yeah. So you're, and we've even found that in the golf space too, because I think if we had like strictly an apparel company, we'd have a lot more competition. We don't really have competition in the space. There's a couple other products like ours, but if I'm being frank, we're outperforming all of them significantly. I think a lot of people underestimate the amount of work it takes to launch a company. And, you know, you think like, oh, this is a cool idea, I'm going to put it out there. And it's like, yeah, but then you have to market the crap out of it, and you have to follow up, and you have to keep innovating, and you have finding new ways forward. So, but yeah, even in the golf space, it's like, it's very collaborative. I mean, we work with, you know, clothing brands or, you know, club designers or golf courses, or, you know, we're not really in competition with anyone we're there with. So there's a lot of opportunity to collaborate, which it's nice to be in that space for sure.
Do you think that the card games extend the time of play on the course? Like, does anyone, like, say if someone's following you, like, have you had any reviews of people getting mad?
Oh,
like,
yeah, I mean,
like, what are they doing when they're playing a game? Just hit the ball.
If you know anything about golf, it's like pace of play is like the main thing, which I do understand. And from where I'm standing, so when we design the game, also just we actually there's no shortage of crappy comments. You know, I mean, that's the internet. And we actually did this piece of this reel go viral October of last year before 23, I think. It's pinned to our page, but it's us reading replies that our intern had to negative reviews. And it went like, I don't know, 14 million, like it exploded. Like we had, I don't know, like Courtney, was it Courtney? One of the Kardashians commented on it. Some other celebrities were commenting on it. Brands were commenting. Yeah, it was wild. So we definitely used it to our favor. But yeah, I mean, to answer
your
question.
I probably commented on it.
Yeah, we were on there. I tapped in. No, I mean, that's something we're very conscious. And when we design When we designed the game, we had this sort of set of rules, like here's what it cannot do. Like one, it has to be fun, but it can't delay the pace of play to an excessive amount. So for that reason, if there's anything that requires a group action, or the action of another person with you, it happens on the tee box or on the green where you're all together. Anything that happens in the fairway is sort of an individual rule. We did include some various gameplay variations where it's like one card per hole, things like that. And then, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, we've had, there's hundreds of thousands of rounds played with the cards, and by and large the response is it didn't slow us down. I mean, half the cards are good that speed up your pace of play. The other things we have is like nothing in there is gonna have a high likelihood of causing injury to yourself or someone else, though it could happen. Also, damage to, you know, your stuff or the course is something we consider, though occasionally we did have somebody, they're doing Happy Gilmore and they broke their driver. And it was on video. No. They're doing a Happy Gilmore swing. Ooh. Because it was one of our cards, you know, yeah. An attack card. Oh, you make awesome. Somebody do that. And I hit him up because like I was like, oh, this sucks, but that's funny. Like let's go, let's talk about it. Let's make some of this. He never reached back out. Like we probably would have bought him a shaft and done like made something funny out of it, you know. But
yeah, for sure.
But yeah, so pace is unaffected, but people will bitch about it. And honestly, like you cannot play our card game at all, and there can be three of you, and you can have a crappy pace of play. You could have six of you, and you could have a good pace of play. It's just the self awareness, I think, is more important than anything. So it's really on the golfer, not so much the cards.
Yeah. What are some of the, I mean, you brought up the Happy Gilmore swing. Like, what are some of the other examples of like cards, if you want to give us a little sneak peek?
Oh yeah. I'll share some of my favorites. So like, the most ones that are on our social media are the ones that are like visually more fun. We have a lot of rules in there that are strategically really fun to play, but they don't make great video, you know, like things like, mm-hmm. Oh, moving all of your balls to the rough. It's like, doesn't make for a good clip, but it's really fun to play that way. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
We have one called like strategically, there's one that's called prediction where you have to pick your next club before you hit your current shot. And that one's Ooh. Really fun.
That's awesome.
Because when you're like, all right, you know, you're hitting, you know, maybe you're hitting your shot and you're like, all right, I'm expecting to land here and be this far out, or like I'm expecting to land on the green. So it's like, okay, my next is going to be my putter. And then you miss the green and you're in a bunker and it's like, okay, I have my putter in my hand and I have to pick my next club. Like, do I pick putter again and hope that I get it out? Or do I pick my sand wedge so that if I don't make it out, I'm able to get on the next one? So that for me is really fun. And it really like cranks up the pressure on each shot. Just like, okay, this cannot go here. It cannot, or I'm going to ruin this hole. But then we have fun ones that are like name wise, like, we have one where you can take each of your putts twice and keep the best one, on that hole. It's called two putts, one cup. We have one called, choke on the shaft, where you have to hold all your irons below the grip.
Oh God.
You know, one where a putting card where you have to putt off the tip of the club head, which is called just the tip, you know, things like that. That makes sense. So,
I think
for me, the best cards are always the ones that bring in extra strategy. Like that for me makes the best gameplay. So one of our card categories is party cards. It means like everybody plays it. Like even if you're all drawing individual cards, you still play your individual card if you're able to. And you're playing the party card.
Okay.
And one of our party cards is called Pace Setter. And the way it works, I've had a lot of fun anytime I play this in content rounds, but it says you tee off first. Nobody's ball may pass your ball until you pass the front of the green. If they do, they have to take a drop to bring their ball back to yours. And so the last time we did this on a content shoot, we haven't edited it yet. The editor still got the footage, but I teed off, it was a par five, but I teed off with just like a hybrid. Like I didn't want anyone to know my yardage. I thought if I hit a driver, they're going to know about how far that goes because we've been playing together all day. So I'm going to pick a random club. Also, it was sort of a blind shot, so you wouldn't even really know how far it went. So then the other players are like, all right, I want to be as close to that ball as possible, but I really don't want to pass it. And so trying to like, it's sort of like musical chairs where you're sort of hanging on the last chair for as long as possible. So you're sort of like, as the pace setter, you're determining how many strokes you're going to take, and it's all going to come down to putting. I absolutely lost the hole in that. I did so terribly once we got on the green. but yeah, super fun. Anything that gets you starting to think about strategy is like, there's even one that's like, I think it's called, I forget what this one's called, but basically you choose to either take, I think it's a par. You can take a par and not play the hole, or you can play the hole and get your score. Like, you have to decide before you tee off. And you're just like,
That's cool.
Maybe it's bogey. It might even be bogey. But yeah, stuff like that that makes you go, huh. So those to me are the best cards.
Oh, dude, I love that, dude. Because like, I'm the same way. I'm really not that good at golf. I only golf like a couple times a year, whatever. Perfect. Dude, I'm definitely gonna like get this game. My brother-in-law would love it because he's a big golfer, and like, it just adds a whole nother like aspect to the game, you know?
Yeah, and if like you guys are playing together, like we have in our main game, the one that like totally screws with your round, some of the cards have a little R in the bottom right, some of them have a D in the bottom right, and those are two variations called Dethrone and Redemption. And so Redemption would be like, if you and him were playing, you would just put the cards with the little R on it in the deck, and that's it. And the way it works is that each hole, whoever's losing gets to draw a card. It's always going to be a helpful card, and it's only going to affect them. So if you're playing with somebody who's really good, it's like, cool, I'm in last place right now, so I'm going to draw a card. I get an advantage on this hole. You get to the next hole, I get an advantage. Same works with Dethrone. It's all the bad cards. So you do the inverse of that, where it's whoever's in the lead draws the card, and it's always going to hurt them. So the idea is it pulls the bottom man up, or it pulls the top man down, depending how you want to play. And we've done variations where we call it Rethrone, where we do both. So it's like the leader draws a bad card, the person in the last place draws a good card, the person in the middle draws nothing. And anytime we've done that, I mean, we did a full 18 holes like that. It was three of us and pretty widespread of skill levels between us. And it came down to the literal last putt. Like, it really, like, it's a fun way to sort of equalize the game without giving strokes. You know, it's just kind of a more like, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's such a good idea. Yeah. Because so many people struggle with that too. Like, there's a professional golfer there, and then there's somebody that's like first timer, and like the people that are good don't like that either. Like, they don't want to be playing with people that are bad.
No, you know? It's like awkward when somebody's like, "Oh crap," and they have all this pressure on themselves, and you feel weird. Just have fun. It's so expensive. Like, it's expensive. Mm-hmm. It takes all day. If you're not having fun, like, it's crazy to be out there. Like, I picked up a random golf ball from a ditch last week, and it had printed on it. It said, "Smile, you paid to do this." And I was like, it's perfect. That's funny. Exactly it.
Yeah, that's true.
You go ahead, Oliver.
Sorry. Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, I feel like indirectly it actually makes you a better golfer too. Because you get to know your clubs better. You get to know just the course better by having like these unique rules, like things you've never really done. Like, you've held the club now in like a weird position. Yeah. Now you know the club better. Like, I feel like honestly, it's going to make you a better golfer in the long run too.
Yeah. And I think people play better when there's less pressure. Like I honestly, like, even like when I've had really good rounds of golf, still the most fun I've had is when we take like content creators out and we do a challenge round with them, because it still plays, it's still golf, but like that, having that random thing in there, like, okay, I'm only allowed to use three clubs on this hole, so I'm going to play my best, but I know I'm probably not going to have the ideal club in my hand a lot of the times. And so your expectation just drops so far from that. And so if you make good contact, you're just like, oh, sweet. Like, that could have been a total failure. Or like, yeah, I have to take my first putt with the flag stick, like a pool cue. It's like, I'm not expecting this to go in, you know, like, I'm okay to, you know, you're like, you're just way less hard on yourself, because in what world have you prepared for the scenario? I mean, I've prepared for all of them over the years, but and I think when the pressure comes off, like, you play better, you just enjoy your time out there, you have more fun. But all of my favorite rounds have been those creative rounds. And we've heard that from other golfers too. They're like, this is the most fun I've had playing around a golf in a long time, and they still feel like they played around a golf, not that they just went out there and just, you know, dicked around for four hours.
Right. Yeah. So you're playing a lot more golf now, I'm assuming, you know, with the content games. Like, how else has your life changed after you came up with this idea and it's, you know, blown up.
I mean, for me, yeah, definitely playing a lot more golf, which is great. I think the biggest thing for me is, my wife and I have a marketing, like a social media marketing company. And we have, say, half a dozen employees, and that was our full time. I mean, that was 8 hours a week, 'cause we were building that up from 2019 on. And so when Bag Cards started taking off, and I was wearing all the hats and overextended so much in both spaces, and like, it kind of forced me to put some key people in place to have our other company run successfully, which was the goal the whole time, but I'm a control freak, so stepping out of that was really hard. So it kind of forced me into this space to sort of release some control there. And I think that for me has been a huge learning experience. And then additionally, just on the Bag Card side, like, I didn't know anything about e-commerce. I'd never built an e-commerce website. I'd never dealt with like fulfillment or 3PLs or, you know, sourcing inventory and proofing designs and paying, you know, it's just all that stuff. All that was completely new. So between like Reddit and YouTube and now ChatGPT, you know, just figuring things out as I went, which is something I very much enjoy doing. But yeah, so it just kind of shifted from focusing on one company to like, okay, now you're focusing on two. Now you need to learn to sort of zoom out a bit and rely on other people and, you know, build systems and trust them. And yeah, so it was a big change for me just from a business perspective.
Yeah.
And that's great, 'cause yeah, now I golf a lot. We travel a ton with this company. We get to work with creators and brands, and golf courses are typically very beautiful and they're in beautiful places. And so, you know, we're in Arizona a ton and South Florida a ton and California a ton. So we go to really nice, beautiful places for this company to, you know, to hang out and party on a golf course and film content. Like it's a vibe.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people would, that's like people's dream jobs, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. What would you say like one of the biggest challenges was though for you, like getting started?
I think just having to figure everything out. When you're starting out, you can't really afford to hire the experts on everything. Like, I mean, we didn't. We built the site myself and looked in all that stuff.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
And yeah, I mean, yeah, as I said, like even like finding factories and sourcing samples, and then dude, you know how terrifying it is to spend thousands of dollars on the first run. And we didn't get a physical proof because it was going to take for them to do one proof was, I think it was like $1,200 for a single game, because they have to set all the machinery up to make one thing for you. So yeah, we opted out of that. And, so to have 750 units show up, I mean, outside of Shark Tank, that's the most nervous I'd ever been unboxing that. Like, I didn't film it because I was a wreck and just like, oh, yeah. And then flipping it open and be like, I know I'm going to find a typo. I'm going to find a typo immediately. Like, or it's going to be the wrong size or something, you know, like have my Spinal Tap Stonehenge moment where, you know, the cards are all this big. They're not poker size. Yeah. So yeah, I think the biggest challenge is just sort of like just learning everything as I went. And then, I mean, yeah, I was talking about like the retail component. It's just like, you know, spend all day Googling terms. What does this mean? What does this mean? What does this normally look like? Doing licensing deals and just like, oh, I've learned everything I need to know about licensing now and, you know, stuff like that. So I think it's just flying blind, which I mean, I also think was like, also one of the biggest benefits too, because instead of spending all weeks and months preparing, I mean, it's good to have a good product, but at some point you just gotta go. You just gotta move forward and learn as you go, because you can only prepare so much. So it was a good lesson in getting thrown in something, and a big confidence builder of, I mean, like, man, I figured that out. Like, we live in a day and age where you can get the answers to everything. You can figure things out, and you can do it from anywhere in the world from your computer with pretty limited resources, especially compared to what you could do 10, 15, 20 years ago. It wouldn't have been, my dad couldn't have started this company, not without, you know, $500,000 of investment in all this, because it would have taken 20 grand to build a basic website.
That's a good point.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's definitely the way to go, is just to jump into it and start it. Because it's like you said earlier, if you didn't do that, like just jump into it, then someone else probably would have done it, and then you would have had like regrets. But like a lot of your sales have been driven through those viral videos you made. A lot of people kind of wonder, should I take the content route of like really describing my product, or should I just make viral funny content? Because you said one of your most viral videos was just the intern like reading the comments.
It's we definitely, so my experience was all in marketing, and I knew that, okay, on that, I knew what I wanted to look like and feel like brand wise. I knew what I wanted our voice to be. I wanted us to be like, just like, I wanted it to be, I know it sounds cheesy, but I did want to build a community, and I wanted to, you know, I wanted people who discovered our brands to be a champion for it. And we wanted to carry that voice well into our marketing. So we're, I mean, we're very much a marketing first organization. And put our focus on that. And maybe that's the right move, maybe it's not, but it's where my experience was, and I knew that we could make waves on that side. So it's funny with that viral moment. I had a I had to talk to somebody about this recently, where they're like, yeah, do I make content that just supports my product and my core foundation, or how far can I pivot? And then is there value in that? And great case study is that video, because it went outside of our niche to just anybody. We're sort of in the benefit. We saw a really big sales lift because not only do we appeal to golfers, but it's a great gift. So anybody who knows a golfer is in our target market. So it's a real wide market as far as purchasing goes. So that played in our favor, but yeah, anytime you can point them back to your product. A better example is probably, I think this one only got about between 2 and 3 million views, but it was me on a Southwest flight. It was just an idea. I had my buddy film it where I pretended, well, I had my coat, my jacket off and kind of over, and I had my arm under it, pretending like I was consoling a baby that was crying. And on my phone, I was playing a YouTube clip of an infant crying. And so I'm like that on the aisle seat, because, you know, on like Southwest, you pick your own seat. So you're trying to get people not sit next to you. So I'm sitting there rocking and like looking at people as they go by. And then like, I kind of show the camera what I'm doing. And so that went to a couple million, and there was no tie to golf for that. And we're not on a golf course. I'm wearing a hat, but that's about it. So what we did for that is, because I wanted, you know, all 2 million of those people could have still been customers, even as a golf gift. So what we did is we took that, I took that and I made an ad out of it. So the way it started out was with the original video for about a second and a half. And then I swung in and went with those crappy, you know, TikTok green screens that looked very raw and organic. And I was like, you know, and then it's me saying like, remember us? A lot of you asked what we, you know, what our business is. We sell fun on-course card games, mixed around golf, buy them for the golfer in your life. So 12-second ad that immediately tied them back to the moment. So we already had the proof. There was like, oh, I remember this. But then they realized it's something new. And so we already have their eyeballs. So basically, we created that ad and we served it to, for a couple weeks, to a group of anybody who watched that video for 75% or more. So people who were engaged with that video and thought it was funny got the follow-up ad of us. So I think for me, that's a good strategy for like, if you do something that's out of niche, but you do want to connect that audience to what you're selling because it wasn't represented in that, go for it. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't cost you anything, you know, I mean, we got some extra eyeballs on our page. We got a viral thing. Like, it didn't cost us anything to shoot that. It took me 30 seconds to edit it, and it was funny and cool. Like, that's, you know, we didn't do this huge, like, expensive shoot or something, or big investment. So, but yeah, I think the more organically, like people don't want to be sold to, and it's worse and worse and worse. And even in organic content, our goal is always to allow somebody to discover the product for themselves. So it'll be us or during a tournament, like playing the cards. So you're seeing that there's cards being drawn. So you connect that this is some kind of a card game. It's happening in golf. That's what we want to educate you on. Outside of that, it's very easy to find us. It's very easy to shop. You can find us on Amazon. If you Google any variation of our name, we're going to show up first, second, and third. So we leave a very heavy trail of breadcrumbs. But when there's some sense of discovery of something, people are tied to it a lot more. So if you feel like you discovered this brand or this podcast or this comedian or this thing that nobody knows about yet, like it's like our psychology wants us to like share that to somebody because there's like social like value in that for us. And so we try to set that up for people. So even if they're not a golfer and they see it and they're like, oh, I'm going to send this to every golfer I know. Have you seen this yet? So yeah, I think when it comes to marketing, the soft sell or almost the no sell, the undersell, you know, like show them the experience and then the rest will follow. And I mean, our product just lends itself to that. I mean, we knew with what we were creating, it was going to be very user generated content heavy and that our marketing could be very organic feeling and viral feeling just naturally. So that was just kind of the perfect collision of social media and product, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like the more like people see your page and your product, the more times they're seeing something pop up from you guys, like the more comfortable they are to probably like buy something next time they see it. So I feel like that's another thing. Just push out content, get on people's, you know, for you pages. And I mean, yeah, you're definitely more likely to get like potential customers. So
yeah. And when it comes to like, when it comes to social media, you know, I mean, you're supposed to be, every post is supposed to be, you know, inspire or educate or encourage, or, you know, the last component is sell. And or convert, and that, you know, I mean, that used to be about, that should only be 1 in 5 posts, and I think it should be even less than that. But yeah, I mean, just like when you release, you know, clips to your social media, it's not you saying, hey, come watch our podcast, come subscribe to our podcast, watch this episode. Like, no, you're just like, here's an interesting clip of something that happened. We're just gonna leave it at that, because your viewer is gonna be like, oh man, these guys keep popping up, and I keep liking what I hear, and maybe they need to see 40 of those, and when it's time, like, oh, I'm going to download a podcast. Oh, I really like this guy's stuff. Their guests are always interesting, or the questions are always good. So, you know, they know what you're offering, and you're offering them in the short form, like value and entertainment and education. And so, yeah, it's pretty easy from there for them. Like, you don't need the hard sell. Like, hey, be sure to follow our podcast. They know you have a podcast. Like, that's obvious. <Yeah. laughs>
That's so true. And I think we've kind of gone away from that as a society. Like, no one even includes that in, like, their YouTube videos anymore because it's obvious. No. It's like, why were we even doing that at the start? Like, don't forget, make sure you like and subscribe. Like,
yeah.
I think they'll do it if they want to.
Yeah, exactly. I had, and actually in on the marketing side, you know, I did a lot of, did some consulting for a podcast that was starting up, and they were pretty kind of anti TikTok at the time. I was like, you got to be on here. And, you know, I told them from day one, I'm just like, when it comes to conversions, you have to understand you're going to reach an audience of people, myself included, who maybe don't listen to a ton of podcasts because they don't have time, they don't have it in their routine or whatever. Like, my wife will listen to podcasts all day long because she can multitask. I cannot. It's one thing at a time. So unless I'm on a long drive, like I can't, because I can only do one thing at a time. But I'm like, there's plenty of people that are going to enjoy your content and subscribe and continue to support you outside of your main podcast channel. So like, find value in that as well. Like, you know, you're going to find sort of this demo audience or this that doesn't necessarily also subscribe to your main thing. Like, I'm going to find people who really enjoy our golf content, but have no interest in our products. That's fine. Like, great. I have somebody on social that's interacting and engaging. And so there's almost different tiered effects to the people who enjoy what you're doing and you know, how to leverage that. But even just having an engaged audience on social media has value. So if someone's not a golfer or, you know, isn't interested in our products, but likes the content that we're posting and engages with it, like, that's amazing. Love that. We'll take it at every point we can get.
Yeah,
that's true. And I think we need to start our TikTok.
I just wrote that down. I literally just wrote
TikTok.
So I didn't forget about it.
Yeah, that's good.
Dude, yeah, I'll make that after this, actually.
I love it.
Yeah, man. TikTok's crazy. Like, the algorithm is so different for some reason. I don't know. It's just wild.
It changes so much. I mean, we have in our marketing company, we have somebody who's their TikTok guy. I mean, he spends times and he's in all these WhatsApp groups and all these subreddits and these messaging groups with different creators, and people are just sharing like, we found success with this. It's all like speculation around the algorithm. Mm-hmm. To where like I post, when I'm creating content, I post reels and then I put it in a bucket for our team to do TikTok. From my marketing company, he also manages our Badcards TikTok, and stuff will go up with different sounds. It'll be posted at different times. It'll be edited a little differently just depending on what the algorithm's favoring at the time. But it changes very rapidly, especially compared to Instagram or Facebook, which has changed a lot slower. You may have one or two big algorithm shifts over the course of a year. And for most of the part for them, it's like, what is the newest feature? And then that's what they're going to push. So, but with all of that stuff, you know, Rob and Duplicate, who's doing it well, just do what they're doing. Like they've obviously, they've figured it out. Like let's skip the trial and error. Let's kind of do our version of what you're finding success in and go from there. But yeah, it's always changing, ever changing landscape. So
yeah, for sure.
You partnered with Liquid Death, is that right?
Yeah.
What did that kind of look like? Because I don't really know if I see them as like a golf brand, so I'm just curious as like,
dude,
what that was.
Yeah, it was fun and kind of random, but like, I mean, that's the other thing too, is like, we're talking about like, you know, like leveraging social media in other ways. I mean, the reason that we get partnerships, like some of the big ones, we did something with Brothers Bond Bourbon last year, which is Ian Somerhalder and Paul Wesley from Vampire Diaries. They're the brothers on that. Have this rabid following and they have a bourbon brand together, and they reached out, and then, you know, Liquid Death and working with Lowe's, I mean, Lowe's corporate reached out just because they saw, like a tournament activation that we did, on Instagram Reels. And she was like, oh, this would be really fun. And so we got plugged into doing a bunch of their corporate events. So just like having that stuff out there, like draws some attention. And that happened with Liquid Death. Someone from their team who's in charge of doing their corporate tournament every year. I love to use the word corporate with Liquid Death because it's about as corporate as you would expect. It looks like a touring band. They're awesome. So yeah, they do this, you know, this golf outing. It was like the third year in a row and everybody really enjoyed it. And he was like, hey, I'd love to, I think he wanted some product for their goodie bags or something. And we got talking. I was like, do we do these whole tournament overlays? And he's like, yes, I love it. And so we flew out to LA, and for 18 of the, or for 9 of the 18 holes, we had a bad card rule on those. So it'd be one card, good or bad. And there were some good ones, good or bad, but the whole tournament plays that same rule. So if it's 5 iron only on that hole, it's not like you drew the card. It's everyone in the tournament's doing that. So if your scores are ballooning, everyone in the tournament scores are ballooning. So we like to say it's like doing a tournament our style is like, it's a Tough Mudder versus a 5K. Like it's still golf in the way that a Tough Mudder is still running in endurance, but it's just this whole wacky thing on top to really test your skills in a different way. So they were all in, they gave us like kind of carte blanche to do whatever. And so, yeah, we went out and messed up their tournament and they had a great time. And my favorite thing we did for them is we had a hole called Kidding Around, and me and another guy were set up there. We had caddy bibs on. We each had a golf bag of kids clubs. We had right and left-handed like clubs in the bag, and we caddied for them on that hole. So it's like, you're not using your own clubs. We give them yardage, clean their clubs, ball marks, everything. And they played it all out with just these kids clubs. And it was like, yeah, it was so super fun. And just, I mean, they all said like, it was the best time. Cause again, I mean, they're not, some of them are golfers. A lot of them are not serious golfers. So going out and having fun and something that fits with the culture of their brand is great. So yeah, they were super fun to work with, and just a good group of people with just an incredible, I mean, you talk about like marketing and like they're just great at that, and like they'll, and like all their weird collaborations that they do. So definitely an inspiration, I think, for me on the marketing side. And so it was cool that they wanted to team up and saw the sort of the synergy there. So yeah, big win.
Yeah, that's sure. Awesome. That's super cool, dude. What advice would you give somebody that's looking to start a business? For people out there that are maybe a little bit discouraged, they think they're trying to find their niche right now. What would you give them?
Yeah, I think I mean, just fail, just keep failing. Like that's, I think we as a society look at failure too much as like a negative thing.
Yeah.
In my mind, it's anything you do and quote unquote fail at, I'll say you don't succeed or it's just not the outcome you expected is probably the best way to say it. Like as long as you learn something, like, you know, if you like, I mean, we spent a lot of money trying to put together a tournament app for a concept that we had. And I mean, we spent a lot of money on it and it just didn't come together. And we ran this, and it's like, man, that
hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Sucks. Like you look at that as like I wasted this money, but it's like I learned that this is not the best path forward for us. It was an expensive lesson, but it's a lesson learned, so we took something away from that. So if you put out content for so say you want to, you know, maybe you want to be a Twitch streamer or something like that, right? And you put out content for 6 months and it doesn't catch, it's like, was that a failure? Like you could look at it and be like, yeah, nobody liked it, but you learned that people don't like that, so you have to tweak something, so you learn to move forward. Same thing works in success. We found some success here. How can we capitalize on that? So I think for me is just learn from everything you do. Walk away with some information. Of course we all want it to be a big, like we want to walk away with the dub, oh, this killed, this exceeded my expectations. Like obviously that would be great, but if it doesn't, you know, walk away with a lesson. You're like, cool, I learned that I don't like doing this type of thing, or like this was a headache, or this didn't really work the way I thought it would. Back to the drawing board. We'll try something different. Yeah, just don't be afraid to fail forward, as they say. Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, it's crazy failing. Like I don't know if you guys have heard of brain plasticity, but like it's like where your brain, you know, obviously changes over time, and like once you reach like 30 or whatever, kind of like you can't really change it as much. But by failing like over and over again, it actually changes your brain when you are past 30 to be more plasticity, I guess. I don't know what the right word to say, but I don't know. It is crazy. There's actually like a psychological thing behind
it. Cut out for you?
His brain just cut out completely.
Wait, all of me or?
Yeah.
It froze for a second there.
Oh, dang. Shoot. Okay. Hopefully it came on the recording, but yeah. That's all I was going to say, but
yeah, you're right. I mean, you're reframing things. You're building new neural pathways. They're like, exactly. You're not assigning, you know, I don't want to call it other than failure. Right. Cause I don't want to call it failure, but like you have your optimal sort of output that you thought like, this is how I want it to go. And then you're just like, boop, I'm here. And just be like, well, I failed. It's like, no, what did you learn? What did you, you know? And then you just start changing and then you start looking for that. And that'll happen. Like when I do something new, it's not like, I had these expectations and I'm really hoping it takes off and then it kind of falls flat. And you're like, huh, all right, what did I learn from this? And then it just becomes your pattern, your habit. And we do a lot of that in bag cards too. I mean, we're always finding new avenues and new opportunities and like, okay, how would this work? Would this work? And trying to find a new thing. But if you're not willing to do that, if you're just following what other people have done and succeeded at, you're not going to break out. You're not going to create something new and exciting. You're not going to be the one people are copying. But yeah, you set that in your mind and you stop perceiving shortcomings in a way as failures and just opportunities to like, cool, what do I learn and what do I do with this? And then you're just focused on like, cool, what's next thing? Like, and that's going to bring you way more success for sure than ruminating on like, man, that's so dumb. I should have done this. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
100%.
Cool.
Oliver, okay. You got some? Yeah. Like what's next? What is the end goal? Where do you see this company going?
Yeah. we held that, we've always held that pretty loose. Because day one was like, do we have a product that people want, right? That's the first question to answer. It's like, we do. Okay, cool. Where do we go from here? And then the goal has always been, what can we do to make this more of a brand than just a product? And can we? Maybe we can't. That was always, you know, maybe we can't. So we stepped into tournaments and collaborations and content, and just see where we can get it to go. We're doing some really fun stuff this year I'm very excited about, that's very outside of the box, but in regards to marketing stuff. But for us, we sort of started the company, we treat it like a startup, and less like a business. So money goes back into the company, it goes back into marketing, obviously buying product and expanding things. The goal is always big. How big can we make this? And then, you know, if somebody wants to come along and pay us a lot of money to acquire it, we're on board. So, yeah, I would definitely hold the finish line pretty loosely, I think, just because I want to be flexible and aware. I mean, if you're hyper-focused on one result, you might miss two or three other options that would be even better served for you. So, yeah, keep growing. Obviously, expanding into new, like, and we had some success with partnerships and collaboration, like expansion packs and products. And so we're leaning more into that this year. Huge response on giveaways. And so we're finding ways to utilize that more this year. And yeah, we did last year, we did an expansion pack called Under the Influencer, where we had golf content creators and influencers make their own rules. And then we put our favorite ones, we kind of work them into an 18 card expansion pack. So we're definitely doing another one of those. Yeah. And then, you know, going out to events and doing activations and things like that has been going really well. So the things that are working and that people are responding to, we're going to double down on while pursuing new stuff. And then, yeah, just get it as big as we can. Till we can grow it no more has always been the goal. So that continues to be the goal.
I have a card idea, I think.
I love it.
What if, like, you didn't have to use a club and you could just pick up your ball and, like, throw it?
We do have that. It's called Get Handsy. Yeah. Dude, that's funny, actually. When we do the expansion packs and there's, like, it's like, oh, here's my idea. I'm like, send me 20 because half of these will be in the deck already. And then the other half will probably be, like, they're going to cause too much damage. And so we'll tweak from there.
Right.
But yeah, that's a fun one. I have a video of me playing that one and I threw out my arm so bad. Like, I think you underestimate when you're on a golf course, you're like, yeah, cool. And you go to throw it and you realize, like, all right, this is, you know, the shortest par three is going to be, you know, it's like 100, you know, it's your 100 yards. And you're like, oh, that's so short, right? I can hit that with almost any club. If you go to throw something and you put it in terms of like a football field, it's like, could you throw a golf ball the full length of a football field? You're like, even with a rollout, like, probably not. So it's very humbling to be out there and just be like, oh, wow, yeah, this is going to take me probably six throws to get it up there.
Yeah. Well, it's trippy too because the golf ball is so light. So it's like.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the problem when you. When you throw out, I think the rule is like after your tee shot, you and it's for a whole group. It's like after the tee shot, you throw your ball until you hit the green and then you can putt. So you got the first couple hundred yards out of the way. So you're working with, depending on the hole, like maybe another 200. So you just got like three more throws to get it up there, like potentially. So it was humbling. I'm glad I didn't draw it on a longer hole. I probably would put it back in the deck.
Yeah, you should do a car where somebody has to put the T in their mouth and you got to hit it out from that.
See, now that our legal team would roast me for. They would not. Down. They would shut that down so fast. Yeah. We have one where you like try to distract. It's called T's in the box. You throw T's at the person as they're teeing off and trying to distract them. That. And even that, I'm like, someone's going to get hit in the eyeball. And we have our legal disclaimer in our game. It says like, hey, our lawyer told us to tell you. And then it has like our legal disclaimer that they wrote up.
Yeah, that is something you got to think about. Like, you got to think about everything. It could be dangerous if you're working with stupid people, you know? Like if the people out there on the course are like dumb, they could turn it into like an accident, you know? So it's like.
Yeah, we definitely err on the side of like, All right. I'm going to just imagine the most drunk, reckless person possible drawing this card. And like, is I mean, we don't have, I mean, we kind of do now. But for the longest time, an easy one is like, oh, you got to tee off with your putter, right? But like, putters aren't really meant to hit like that, and putters are expensive. So I was like, I intentionally was like, nah, because then somebody's going to be writing us to replace their Scotty Cameron because they were dumb enough to hit it off the tee. Right. I say that, but one of the influencers submitted a card that actually is one of my favorite cards to play. It's called Reverse Round, where you play your clubs in reverse order. So basically, you use whatever club fits your distance between you and the tee box instead of you and the pin. So when you're in the tee box, you're hitting a putter. And then so if you hit your putter and it goes like 60 yards, then it's like, okay, it's 60 yards back the tee box. What club would I use for 60 yards? So you have your sand wedge and you hit it. And it's like, all right, I'm this far from the tee box. What club would that be? And then you hit at the green that way. So you ends up, you're putting out with, you know, realistically on a par four, you're putting out with your driver and you're teeing off with your putter and picking the clubs in between, which is really fun. If you're in like a greenside bunker and you're like, well, no, to reach the tee box from here, it'd be a driver. So you're trying to get out with your driver.
I like that one. That's cool.
But yeah, I try to keep people from hurting themselves as best as we can. Even our, I mean, honestly, like even our, we have a drinking rules expansion pack because we made the choice not to include any alcohol-based rules into our main game because it's already sort of PG-13. We wanted to make sure it fit, you know, for a lot of people. And so the first thing we did was release a drinking rules expansion pack that's built to just mix into the game. And even in that, it doesn't say alcohol or beer or shot. I mean, it says chug your drink, finish your drink, take a sip and hold it in your mouth. Because you can even play those. I'm saying, like, we had a couple influencers early on. They were doing this golf channel. Actually, I saw you guys did some stuff with like the Mr. Beast guys, but Bailey, who did their isolation challenge, him and Susie did that. He has a golf page called Quiet Wave. He's doing a ton with it now, but we worked with them and they did some drinking rules, but his partner Jackson doesn't drink alcohol. And so Bailey had beers and Jackson had a gallon of milk, which is way, way worse. Just go out with like a LaCroix or like something just like terrible tasting or like, you know what I mean? Just like, yeah, it doesn't even have, and it's, yeah, like, and some of them aren't even drinking. Like there's one where you just can't set your drink down on the entire hole. And so like you're holding like the koozie or the can and you're both trying to hit. There's one where you have to take it's called spit or swallow. You have to take a big chug, hold it in your mouth until you hit the green. And if you spit or swallow before then, it's a 2-stroke penalty. That one's pretty brutal. Like that gets pretty gross. Because I mean,
milk, that would be nasty.
Dude. Oh, it'd be brutal. Yeah, I don't know how I did the milk thing, but I was like, that's funny as hell. So even with that stuff, it doesn't even say alcohol technically. Because I'm like,
This might kind of make it more fun too.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that anytime you do something that's like. Like even on like bets and wagers, like we did when we were out in Arizona, I had this idea for a bet that I really didn't want to lose, but we just posted it a couple of days ago. It's me and one of the other guys from our company, but we did it closest to the pin, and whoever lost on the return flight home when the flight landed, they had to applaud, and like that was the wager, and that mattered. I would rather have lost a $500 bet than have to like clap on a plane when it lands. And luckily, spoiler alert, but I did win and didn't have to clap, and he hammed it up, so I think it worked out perfectly. But yeah, anytime there's something that's like kind of like creative and strategic and just different, like yeah, like using milk instead, like that's hilarious to me. Like nobody would think to do that, like stuff like that. I think it's a trip.
Yeah, well, it's fun because like the people who are playing can leaves room for their like creativity too. Like you can come with your own type of rules and stuff. Like I like that aspect.
Oh yeah, and we've got, I mean, each of our main games come with two cards that look like this, so they fit in the deck, but they're DIY cards, so you make your own rule. And we're actually we're doing an expansion pack this year. It's an idea we've had for a long time called, I don't know if we're going to call it fan fueled or something like that, but we're just going to take everyone's ideas. And then if yours makes the cut, cause we're only going to take 18, then like your handle will be in the bottom. So people can like tag you when they're playing your card. Same thing we did for the influencers, but with just everyday people. We've collected a few of those through Instagram stories over the years. We've done campaigns and like, dude, you guys are, everybody's, they're relentless. Like, they're just the diabolical things they come up with. I'm like, in no world would that be allowed. Like, in no world. Like, it was so hard. And like, nobody come in, like, all of our expansion packs are even mixed with the card categories, and it ends up being half good, half bad. And I'm like, they're all just bad. Like, everybody just wants, everybody chose violence. So we're gonna, yeah, we're gonna roll out some fun stuff this year that allows you actually just to like create your own actual card, like all through, it's all gonna run through AI and DMs for us, but we're setting it up now to where, you know, you'll be able to pick the category. There'll be a character limit on the card and the instructions, and you can do everything, and it'll just DM you back a, you know, a PNG or a PDF of your card. So, and you can create as many as you want. And then on the content side, like, we'll be looking at our favorites and playing them and trying them out on the course. And then we'll probably source those for like the DIY expansion pack. But that'll be fun because we'll get to play everybody's ideas. And we have a whole spreadsheet of ideas that aren't actual cards yet. One time we went out and just like tried some of them out for content. My favorite one from it was called, it's just called Beep. And you just have to drive your cart in reverse the entire time, like on that hole. It didn't affect the game. It didn't affect the play. It just was so funny. And we were laughing so hard because it's so obnoxious. You're just like,
it's so annoying too, because of the beeping noise. Yep.
Yeah, the whole way. Like, it was one of my favorites. Like, it's not a card yet, but it's going to be. And like,
that's great.
Yeah. I mean, stuff like that. It's just like anything that got you laughing, like, bam, ace. It's perfect. So,
yeah.
So we'll see what all you guys come up with. And,
Yeah,
I definitely expect to see submissions from you guys as well, for sure.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited to keep up with it. Yeah. Man, that's awesome, dude. That's cool. Oliver, you got anything else, or you want to start wrapping it up?
How quick is it going to get here? Because I got a tea time Friday.
What day is it? I can get it to you.
Oh, actually?
Yeah, yeah.
We can try to film some content out there, too.
Oh, heck yeah. That'd be great. Yeah, when you release this and like have some of that going on to it.
Yeah, yeah,
we'll
definitely.
We'll get a package in the mail. Is there a chat function on this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drop a name and an address in.
Yeah, I'll do that after when we wrap it up, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, and an email address as well, so you get the shipping updates. But it'd probably get there in South Carolina from Arizona. It'll get there before the weekend. I'll put a rush on it, but yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, that'll be sick.
Sweet, man. Yeah, Brendan, do you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, sure. Thank you guys for listening. This was Scott, and how do you say your last name? I didn't even say it.
Tobby.
Tobby. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening. This was Scott Tobby. Please check out his card game. It sounds like a blast, and we're definitely gonna be coming out with some content of us playing it later. So thank you guys for listening. Have a great day.
See you guys. Yes, and make sure you check him out on socials. His Instagram and TikTok are Bad Cards 4. That is 4 FORE. Good Golfers, correct?
That's it. Long name. Lots of fun.
Awesome. Thank you, Scott, for coming on again.
For sure. Thanks for having me.
Also, check out the True Classic shirts that we...
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.